Ain't it good to be able to come together as God's people and children, brothers and sisters in Christ, and just gather together? And I'd ask you this morning, and myself also, let's just put all of the things that's on the outside outside. And let's leave them there for a little while, that we might look at the Word of God and look to Him. And I believe if we do that this morning, we could enjoy ourselves and rejoice this morning. We're looking in Romans chapter 5 this morning for a little while. I tell you, I will confess to you right off the bat, there's more here than I could try to cover this morning in 30 or 40 minutes. And there's more here, I confess, after I got to studying it, I needed probably another week or two on it. It's just kept getting bigger and bigger. But anyway, we're going to look at just a little while for a few things. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And I hope we can learn and grow from it. And it encourages us in the faith and our walk and our journey down here on this earth. I like what Brother Winkle said there Wednesday night. He said he's going to let us out early and maybe a preacher let him preach again. So I might do that this morning. I might let us out early and maybe Brian will let me teach again. I think what he said was, I'll let you out a little early and maybe that way you can tell the preacher to let me preach again. Is that what he said? Maybe that's the way it was. Anyway, he didn't let us out early though, preacher, I don't believe. Sometimes you kind of got that on your mind when you get started, but don't end up that way. Sometimes it's the other way too, ain't preacher? But anyway, in Romans chapter 5, I want to read to us here a few verses, starting in chapter 4 and verse 20, and a couple of verses in chapter 5. And I just want to talk to us a few minutes, try to encourage us. Ain't going to tell us nothing we don't already know. Just kind of remind us of some things that we already know. Nothing new, but some things that kind of encouraged me and blessed me. And chapter 4 and verse 20 says, speaking of Abraham, says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. In chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I want to talk to us. I was reading this a little while back, and something jumped out at me, I guess, or struck me that I never had noticed before, and it is in verse 2. It says, by whom also we have access by faith and do his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. Don't talk to us about standing in grace. Standing in grace. It says there, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. Grace, wherein we stand. Don't talk to us about standing in grace. What's that consist of? What's standing in grace consist of? Well, we see here, first of all, it consists of being born again. In order to stand in grace, you must be born again. And that's where it says being justified by faith. Just another way of saying being born again. Of course, we've been born again, we've been justified, ain't we? I thought about being born again. And I think all of us in here this morning understands that term, what it means. Hopefully everybody in here has been born again. If you've not, you need to get born again. And our Lord, when he come to Nicodemus, come to him by night, the Bible said, and asking him a lot of questions, he kind of bypassed everything he had, and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so you must be born again. Let me say this morning, you must be born again. That is the basis of everything that we believe in. That's the main core. The reason we're here this morning, either is because we've been born again, had a sense of gratitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done for us at Calvary. Of course, all that goes together. And as a result of what he done again, and as a result of God the Holy Spirit coming and speaking to our heart and dealing with our heart, we are born again this morning. We are born again believers. I know and remember, you know, a few years back, that got to be kind of a common term. I think it was around the time maybe that Jimmy Carter was running for president. All of you remember that. Some of you may not be old enough. Me and Brother Rose and this fellow here on the other front, we remember that. We're old enough to remember that. That's probably back in, what, maybe in the 60s, maybe? So it got to be a pretty common term, born again, you know, and everybody's kind of throwing it around, kind of loose. Well, being born again is not something to take lightly. It's something to us, is pretty important. And so our Lord told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Still true today, by the way. If we're in a time now, it's kind of been pushed on the back burner again, but it's still the truth today. You must be born again. If you're going to go to heaven, you better get born again. If you're going to go to heaven, you have to be born again. And that's what he told Nicodemus. And Peter said it like this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm glad I got born again. And the process of that is, of course, we know, is that we hear the gospel, first of all. I'm glad one day I heard the gospel. You know, I heard the gospel one day, and then I heard the gospel. You know what I mean? If you're here this morning, you've been born again, you know what I'm talking about. I went to church, and I heard the preacher preach a lot of times. But one day, I went, and it was different. I heard the gospel. Amen. I'm glad one day I heard the gospel in the sense of that I believed the gospel. I embraced it in my heart and took it into my heart and believed the gospel. And I'm glad that, you know, if you're standing in the grace this morning, you must be born again. And if you are standing in grace, you have been born again. So that's being justified by faith. Ain't you glad for that this morning? That ought to encourage our heart as God's believers. And sometimes I think, you know, these truths of the Scripture, we kind of just take them for granted. Sometimes we just, it gets to be old to us, so to speak. But that ought not get, should never get old to us as God's people. Thank God one day I heard the gospel. Thank God one day I got born again. Now, I know to the world today, that's terminology they don't understand. They look at us and they say, them old born-again believers are them, you know, kind of fanatic kind of people, you know. They go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and some of them likes to go to revivals 5 nights a week, you know, and they look at us and they think, man, them people got to be crazy. Well, you know why they say that? Because they don't understand. It's terminology they don't understand. See, it's kind of crazy to them. But I'm glad I've been born again. That's when we're standing in grace, that consists of being born again. Then it consists, it consists of some other things. It consists of responsibility. And this part we don't like to hear a lot of times. But notice what it said about Abraham. Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was fully persuaded. I believe we're responsible as God's people. And I know in one of the places, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, that's one of our favorite scriptures. I think we quote that a lot of times and say it a lot of times, kind of in a kind of a manner that's kind of nonchalant, maybe. You know what I mean? But it's truth. It is truth. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things come new. And so it takes in responsibility. And Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. And I think, and I kind of draw this down about Abraham. What's he saying to us? He says, here, but not unto him only, but for us also. So there's an application, not for just Abraham, not for just the time that he lived in, but there's an application to us today. Not for him only, but for us also. What's it saying? It's saying he is exhorting us to apply the same principles to our own lives, and in doing so, to manifest the same steady confidence. Now you look at Abraham and you think about him. I mean, when I see Abraham, I see a man of God that wasn't moved. I mean, listen, he brushed off the things that wasn't important and kept his face steadfast. And the Bible said he looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. That's the kind of man he was. Listen, and here it says, not only for him, but for us also, that we would manifest the same steady confidence in God and in perseverance. We as God's people are to persevere. Now, Peter wrote, like he said, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found to praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see not yet believe, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We as God's people, we're in this world, we're not of the world, but we do have trials and tribulations. There are things comes our ways a lot of time that we don't really want. We don't ask for it, but that's just the way of life. We're to persevere through those things. And that's what Abraham did. And now a lot of people now, I know, there was one preacher one time, me and him talked a lot. And I would say, occasionally, conversation and passion, I'd mention perseverance. And he said, I don't like that word, perseverance. I said, well, that's scriptural. That's part of it, as God's believers. And that's not persevering to be saved. That's not persevering to see where we're going to get to heaven or not. It has anything to do with that. Perseverance is the daily walk of God's people, persevering in the face of adversary, in the face of opposition. And we do have to persevere. And that's the way this thing's made up. We have obstacles in life. And as God's people, this standing in grace consists of responsibility. And we are to be as Abraham was. He's an example to us, and that's what he's saying. He's saying, do like Abraham done. Staggered not at the promise of God. In other words, he embraced the promises of God, took them as truth, and believed it. And that's what we're to do as God's people. We're to embrace those things. Don't stagger at them. Don't wonder about what God said's right, what he's going to do, what he said he'd do, whether he's going to do it or not. Bless God, he'll do it. Amen. We need to settle that in our heart. What God said, he'll also do. He's able this morning. God's not one bit hindered today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if anybody's moved, it's us. But listen, God is just as much God today. And I believe as God's people, sometimes we kind of forget that a little bit. And we look at, the great things that he done in the past. But God's today, he's the same today. He's not changed. And we're to stake our claim on that as God's people. And we're not to stagger at it. In other words, we're not to stumble at it. That's the way Abraham was. He was sure. He was sure of some things. We need to be sure of some things as God's people. And he said, and he was fully persuaded. Well, if this pastor needs one thing in this church today, he needs some people in his church that's fully persuaded. We need to be fully persuaded. We need some pastors that's fully persuaded. We need some deacons that's fully persuaded. We need some church members, regular church members, that's fully persuaded. Man, I tell you, if we had a church full of people that's fully persuaded, Brother Rick, we wouldn't have to beg nobody to come on visitation morning. We wouldn't have to beg nobody to come on prayer night. You hear me? I'm telling you, if we was fully persuaded, you wouldn't have to beg nobody to do nothing. They'd be lined up and signing up. We need some people fully persuaded that this thing is still real and God's still the same and it's not changed. And that's the way Abraham was. Not for him only, but for us also. And so, standing in grace consists of responsibility. Then, standing in grace just stands to reason. If you're standing in grace, you'll be walking in grace. And so, it has to do with our walk. The Bible says, walk in grace. Where's it at? 2? Anyway, don't know. But it says to walk in grace. Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened. I want us to look at this. Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You know, at one time, what it's saying, before we got saved, before we got born again, we had a walk. And that walk was according to the course of this world. But then we go back to the verse there that we quoted a while ago, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What's that saying? Our walk changed. Our course changed. If it didn't change and your walk didn't change, that probably means nothing else changed. And we're living in a time today, you know, people just make professions of faith. And I said, and I say it again, we're not putter inners and taker outers. That's the way it is. But this Bible that we go by, which is our roadmap, which is our standards, and tells us what to do and what not to do, according to that, if your course didn't change, and everything remained the same, you probably didn't get the real thing. But it consists of our walk. If we're standing in grace, we ought to be walking in grace. And he said, we walked according to the course of the world. But now, it tells us in Romans 6 and 4, walk in the newness of life. Walk not after the flesh, Romans 8 and 1. A lot in here about our walk. As believers, as born-again believers. Ephesians 1 and 4, walk worthy of our vocation. Then in John 2 and 6, he says, walk even, boy, this one's heavy, walk even as he walked. We're to conduct ourselves as Christ conducted himself. We're to walk like he did. He was a pattern. He's a example for us, our walk. As God's people and as born-again believers, we have a responsibility to walk right. And that's a lot entailing that. If we don't walk right, somebody else is going to see how we're walking. So we're to walk even as he walked. We know how he walked, don't we? He walked right. Every time he set his foot out, he was right. He's an example for us. Then, standing in grace also entails looking verse 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. It entails or consists of having peace. Let me, I want you to turn your John chapter 14. This past week, was having a conversation with another fella, kind of on this note, about peace. You know, as God's people, as born-again believers, sometimes we let the course and the things of this world take too much of our attention. And when we do that, we get sidetracked as God's people. So, you know, as a manner of speech, we get sidetracked. It's not good when we get sidetracked. Not good when we have too much emphasis placed on other things of this world. And that's what I want to talk to us about now. If you look in John chapter 14, all of us know this well-known scripture. Most of us probably quote it. But it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." And I just want to stop there and say this. We need to keep in our heart and mind, as God's people and God's born-again believers, that He will come again. He is coming back. I'm talking about in the time of our life. It might be tomorrow, it might have been yesterday, might be next week, or might be next year, if the Lord don't come back. But there are times in our lives, even as God's people, that we get distracted and we get our minds focused on other things, which may be very important in life. And there is things in life, in this world, that is important to us. I mean, we all had to eat something this morning. We all had to have a place to sleep. And we had to have a way to get to church and to go back home. And there are things in life that is important. But let's don't give them too much space in our life. And when we start doing that, when those times do come, and they do come, let's remember, I will come again. And when I think we do that, Brother Rose, that will automatically push those things back where they belong at. I'm not saying they're not important. I'm just saying we need to keep them in the right place. And in our heart and mind, keep on in our mind this thing about He is coming back. He is coming again. And that entails we're just pilgrims and strangers here on this earth. We're just passing through. And we're just here for a little while. Then we pass on away. And so, in comparison to eternity, if we live to be 80 or 90, some of us might make it a little farther than that. It's not very much, is it? So when you weigh that one against the other, what's more important? What's on the other side? Or today? Or yesterday? Or next week? Or next year? Not too hard to figure out, is it, when you put it in its right perspective. And He says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Look over in verse 27, talking about peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth." This is a different peace. You see, when we got born again, we got peace with God. It told us that over where we read this morning. What that means is there's no hostility between us and God anymore. And whether you believe it or not, if you're not saved and you're not born again, and even before we were saved, there was hostility. And he that's not born again is at enmity with God. That's the way it is. We may not like that, but that is the way it is. But peace with God, that means it all. You know, I thought about this, just trying to put it on a kind of earthly maybe turn or whatever. Preacher, if you're in battle, if you're in a war with another country or whatever, and you there's a declaration of peace, and you sign, you know, you get together, and you have a signing of peace treaties. You know what that consists of? That consists, or that means that all arms are laid down. No more war. Got peace. I know that's peace in the world, but this peace with God is kind of like that, but more important, more real, I guess. And when we got saved, we got peace with God. Thank the Lord for that. I don't have to lay down of the night and wonder if God loves me. He loved me before I got saved. But he loves me more now. We have peace with God. And here it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We don't have to have any fear anymore. And I guess one of the greatest benefits that myself, maybe you too, I don't know, but one of the greatest benefits that I have of being born again is that I'm not afraid anymore. Preacher, I can go to bed of a night. It's all well. I remember before I got saved, it wasn't like that. I was afraid. And rightfully so, I ought to be afraid. I think that's a lot of the problem today. People are not getting saved. They're not afraid. You know, we've changed our method of preaching and changed the message. But I was afraid. Not anymore. I got the peace of God. One other thing. Is that here in verse 2 of chapter 5, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. Not only did we get peace, but we got hope. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, by two immutable things, of course, which is oath and promise, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation or a strong comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I'm so happy this morning that one day, when I heard that gospel like we talked about a while ago, that I fled for refuge, I realized my life was at stake. And of course, that's a reference there. The cities of refuge. I'm glad that I fled for refuge. Are you glad this morning that you fled for refuge and laid hold on a hope? Then it goes on and says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Boy, I tell you what, we get a hold of that people, you wouldn't catch us no more today. It's both sure and steadfast. And we're living in unsure. And I think about this often, I guess we all do. We're living in the most unstable, I guess, time it's ever been. I mean, listen, this world is a rockin' and a reelin'. This country is in trouble. And it's so unstable. And I think sometimes, I guess out of a sense of pity or whatever, about somebody that's really not born again, never been saved, don't know anything about what we're talking about this morning. How do you make it in a time so unstable as it is today? Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the within the veil. You know, standing in grace, it consists of a lot of things. It consists of being born again. That's number one and far, you know, by any measure, the most important. Then it consists of responsibility. It has to do with our walk. It has to do with peace. And then it has to do with hope. Boy, I'm glad this morning. I was just thinking, preacher, and praying, and we ought to all do it. We have a responsibility. This again goes back to our responsibility, praying for one another and praying for other brothers and sisters' concerns in life. And I think about preachers' grandsons and how they burdens me. Not only them, others. The bus kids. How that we have a responsibility to pray for them. But then when it comes closer to home, I got three grandsons. I want them saved more than anything. And I was praying the other day, preacher, thanking for them two twins, you know, thinking about them. And Hayden, of course, I got three grandsons. And I said, Lord, I'd rather have them saved as for them to be famous. I'd rather have them saved as for them to be rich. I'd rather have them saved as anything this world's got to offer. And I think that's right, don't you? Well, I tell you, standing in the grace of God means a lot. I hadn't really seen that before. But I just read it the other day, and I thought, man, as God's people, we're standing in grace. Lord, help us to be what we ought to be. Pray for the service this morning. Pray for the preacher. I hope I said something. Maybe encourage us along the way a little bit.